methods in place, and that's what we need to be doing with this feed intake data. We need to be using feed intake as one trait and growth or some other measure as another trait, and not trying to use the two together to come up with a magic number. Okay, now let's spend the rest of the talk kind of relating the association or role of feed efficiency and cow efficiency. To do that, I want to put a little bit of perspective on how efficient cows are. And we can do that by comparing them to the competition. This slide, I think, was mentioned yesterday about how efficient the cow is compared to other species. This is a slide put together by Gordon Dickerson. This is back in 1978. I'd be interested to see if this magnitude of these bars are similar with our today's genetics. But needless to say, if we're going to look at efficiency with respect to amount of energy input per edible pound or whatever output, we probably stand no chance in hell to ever compete with these species on a one-to-one basis. Okay? Does that mean feed efficiency is not important? No. It just means we better put it in the proper perspective and where it should be in our process and moving forward. The reason we're even up here is not just because some people like to eat beef and they still buy it, but the feed sources that can go in to make this bar as big as it is won't work for these species up here, okay? So in my mind, if we want to look at efficiency of cattle, at least in the cow-calf portion of the industry, rather than looking at efficiency in respect to feed efficiency, let's look at efficiency and what type of feed we're putting into those animals and use an economic driver on that rather than a biological driver. The other thing that becomes important, if you look at how much energy is spent in replacement and maintenance of the cow, as well as maintenance of the market animal, that those bars can actually change due to lifetime productivity to prorate them over time. And so lifetime production becomes important in minimizing the impact that these two bars play in the overall amount of energy needed. They talked a little bit yesterday about calf and yearling operations and how the yearling animal wasn't as efficient. A lot of that goes into the fact that you spend a lot more of your resources maintaining that animal than putting pounds of beef on it. And that's the same thing happens to an animal that eats slow. So another thing you can keep in mind is that minimizing the time from birth to slaughter will minimize the impact of this maintenance energy requirement. So for efficiency in the cow, I think we need to look on the input on maximizing our utilization of our inexpensive resources, and for the output, lifetime productivity. Okay, this is not any rocket science here, but I'm going to show several slides. Look at the food that's available in these pictures. Jack, these are from the area where there was no cell service in your last slide there. So I think it's pretty easy to conclude, and most everybody in here knows that for the cow herd, our feed inputs vary due to season, location, and management. That's not very true for those other meat species. They control all of that, okay? Our requirements are going to differ due to genetics, and when they talked a little bit about the impact of mature size yesterday, stage of production, not only production through the market, but annual cycle and calving, so forth, and environment. This might be a little fast to put all this together, but when I can think about these things, to me, efficiency of the cow, more than any other trait we look at, is probably going to be influenced by an interaction with the environment, okay? Matt talked a lot about EPDs, and he never mentioned that Bull A was going to have a better EPD in Nebraska than it would have in Montana for growth, for example, because more or less it's been observed that those environmental effects, that genotype by environment interaction, isn't very significant for most of those things we're measuring EPDs on at this point in time. I would propose that if we get a cow efficiency EPD, there might be one, it might be important to consider the environmental interaction. And what that means is some cows are going to be better for certain environments than other cows. Okay, I show this slide to emphasize an important characteristic, and I probably set it up wrong when I talk about biological type or genetics influencing the requirement. But everybody in here, look at this graph, and based on the size of calf this cow, the cow's going to wean this fall, pick one of these cows, all right? Every time I've done this, I've had somebody pick one of these animals except for number one. So I think that indicates to me that people out in the audience, out in production, have an idea that there is a desirable size that they need for their environment. But in reality, I don't like tests that have the wrong question, so I make this one have the right answer no matter what one you pick. The variation in weaning weight that's shown here is simply due to age of the cow. And this is real data from the population of cows I was showing you the feed efficiency data on. That's a huge difference. But you know what? Selling an open cow is not a very expensive deal, really. Open heifer. If you can get rid of them as an open heifer, you come out ahead. The problem is that from here to here, we lose a lot of our animals, and that means we're losing them way before they ever reach their maximum efficiency. This is a 20% difference in efficiency right here in output with probably little difference in input. That's a pretty big number, I think, 20%. A number that probably is way larger than the impact we're going to see for very short time anyhow with any changes in feed efficiency. So to me, this just emphasizes that we need to maximize the population in our herd that's producing out here at 100%. And the things we can do to make that happen should need to be taken into consideration. This is kind of a complex slide, but if we start thinking about how we're going to do that, we can think about, you know, we have a manifold system. A finite amount of feed goes into this animal. If they've been selected for RFI, it could be that they won't eat very much, and that's not good. If we select them to have a huge input, then they have more opportunity to push this whole system and make all of these processes work. Now start considering all the genetic pathways that control each one of these outputs, and it kind of becomes daunting on what traits we should select for to increase longevity. We do have some EPDs that kind of address some of those outputs. And as was brought up yesterday, some of those are associated with changes in maintenance requirements. These are represented by the maintenance energy EPD or dollar energy EPD breed associations have, and they take into consideration mature size and milk production. Okay? A lot of talk on mature size yesterday and whether it was good or bad. This EPD, I think, is good, but it's limited in the fact that it only assigns the maintenance energy requirement of the average of animals at a given mature size and milk production. And we know that not all animals are average. Maybe very few of them are. This EPD does not account for the biological variation around the average for a mature size and level of milk production. So while it's a start, it doesn't get us where we need to be. Some breeds have EPD for stability or longevity, and to me that maybe is